Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
And welcome back to the second hour of Fans in the Pro. My host, Deuce McAllister, as we talk all things football, a little basketball. Pelicans are playing Sunday, also after the Saints. They're at 4 o'clock in Indiana, trying to do something to stay in the mix until they get some people back. But, man, it has been rough.
It's been rough, and you've had a couple of close games last couple weeks where you could get close but just can't finish it off, particularly this week. And, man, it's been tough for the Pelicans. And so, you know, hopefully you can get B.I. and you've gotten Herb back, and you can get Zion back and Jose back and Hawk back. Hawk, you know, he's been out the last couple weeks, and so – CJ's been trying to hold it down. Trey Murphy's been trying to. DeJounte has been trying to hold it down. And, you know, it's just been you win one, but you lose two other heartbreakers.
Yep, that's tough. And close ones, you know, are rough. They're 5-21 right now, but, again, still in December. The schedule comes in three columns. December's the first column. We got two more columns still.
We in ugly column right now. We need some good luck columns, and, you know, we'll kind of just see what happens. I mean, at this point, you're just trying to get in the play-in situation.
Before we were going to break at the top of the hour, just reeling off some of the, you know, hugely big college football playoffs, the bowls. They begin tomorrow, December 14th, and I rattled off some schools, and Charlie was right. I did not mention Louisiana at TCU, or against TCU, in the New Mexico Bowl. That'll be December 28th. I did LSU, and you'll be at the Celebration Bowl tomorrow?
Yeah, I headed over to Atlanta. It's the MEAC versus the SWAC. I'm going to go over to the Celebration Bowl and check that out and, you know, be pulling for the Jackson State Tigers. I know they played Southern and the Jaguars. I'm still a Jag, and I'm still pulling for the G-men up north. But, you know, my heart is, of course, not always in Mississippi. Got to pull for the home team as well.
I mean, you have a nephew, right?
My nephew is one of the quarterbacks at Jackson State, and so that that makes it, I don't want to say it makes it a little easier to pull for the home team, but it definitely helps.
And he was the MVP of the conference.
He was MVP for the SWAC championship game last week.
Yeah, well done. So, and that'll be good. And so, again, as we talked about, you got the New Orleans Bowl coming up on the 19th, a bowl game that probably people weren't talking about, but now they are, UConn and North Carolina on December 28th.
So tell me your thoughts on the North Carolina situation. Because here's one.
My off mic thoughts are way better than my on mic thoughts.
On mic, off mic. We know there's a coach in waiting, which is his son. His son, Steven, has coached for sure last year up at the University of Washington. And Coach Belichick visited a lot. And the way that the Washington program is modeled, I don't know the specifics of it, but it's modeled after an NFL system, how they kind of treat, handle players in that respect. North Carolina, we'll call it shocked. Because anytime you get a Super Bowl winning coach, not one, not two, not three, but go to the other hand and count that as well. You get him to come in and take over your program, and you know people are talking about, well, I want to see him work with 18-year-old. Yes, that is true. But do you think every head coach is going on house visits now? Do you think every head coach is involved with every player that is – he's involved to a point to the roster. Bill is going to be a manager for the North Carolina Tar Heels. He will accumulate a ton of NFL coaches, but also really good college coaches. Because if you see the fine print, UNC last year committed $4 million to their NIL program for Mac Brown. UNC is committing $20 million to their NIL program for Bill Belichick. UNC also is increasing their coaching salary, not head coach, salary for coaches by $10 million. That is not even accounting for, head coach that has been fired, who is still getting paid by school X. How about you come and be an analyst for me? And we can pay you the minimum because you're still being paid by school X. You're going to go through the Bill Belichick rehab for coaching, and we're going to teach. So a lot of people are throwing out, oh, it's an 18-year-old. It's 18. He's dealing. He's recruiting. Last I checked, teaching is teaching. Whether I'm teaching a 21-year-old or whether I'm teaching a 34-year-old, that 21-year-old, it's a little bit different. And we may have to use a different technique to get some of his attention, but it's still teaching.
That's what you believe and I believe.
No, that was my spiel, and now I want to hear your thoughts.
I think that he wants to build something. I think that he wants, and he always wanted to coach in college. He did. His dad was an assistant at UNC. And I think like all these guys, they all got egos.
Definitely has an ego.
And he says, oh, I'm sorry, you don't think I can make this a football school? You a basketball school? I think he likes that challenge. I think the college game.
I think he can lay the groundwork
right
for that, but they're going to have to be committed. And financially now, we're still talking about a blue blood university, but it's been known for basketball.
Yeah.
They had a flash in the pan, previously with Mac as far as, hey, you're really good, UNC, and then it went blap. We don't care about football. There's a ton of talent in Carolina. There's a ton of talent in South Carolina. There's a ton of talent.
You start getting those Clemson guys.
That's what I was about to say. Now you get up into the D.C.,
yep,
the Maryland area. I mean, what are we talking about? What are we doing? And you mean to tell me you're going to give me an arm chest, a war chest, to be able to say, all right, GM, this player is worth this. We can, you know, allocate this. We can You still have, last time I checked, didn't Michael Jordan go there?
Yes, he did.
So I still have the Jordan brand behind me. Oh, man, come on.
Not bad for a freshman who made a jump shot here in New Orleans in 1982. That's a brand. When you talk about something that began in 1982,
well,
and
I mean,
still your brand.
We know Oregon, yeah, and what they have done and are doing, you know, and you know who's backing them, you know, Phil Knight's behind them with, yeah, Nike. But the spinoff of Nike is that man, that Cillo, that's flying through the air with his hand up in the air and, you know, like, hey, I think I may have a pair of myself, you know, right there. And it's just like, hey, yeah, that's my school. Yes, I give a lot of money to Michigan, who is a Jordan affiliate, and there's some others. But you mean to tell me the Tar Heel isn't going to play in that world? Come on.
Believe it will. Take a break. We'll get back to talking a little Saints and the Commanders with John Keim. Covers them for ESPN.com. Take a break first. Fans in the Pro. Mike Hall, Stu Spakalister here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Saints and the Commanders, Sunday at noon. John Keim joins us now, covers the Washington Commanders for ESPN.com. He's got a 703, a little close to my heart, my friend. I'm a 703-er myself, born and raised in Manassas, went to James Madison. In fact, I did a D.C. radio show this morning, the Junkies. Does that make sense? The Junkies? I never heard of them before.
The Junkies have been, yeah, they've been around for a long time, so they're a really good show here. So yes, yeah, they're a staple in the DMV here.
Very cool. Well, it's been a while for me. Welcome to the show. You're on with myself and Deuce McAllister, and we were just kind of talking in the break and talking about Washington and kind of how they've been playing, and you know, they lost three of their last four, but they won their last game with Tennessee and had that open week. And I was talking to him about, just because when I was watching, going through the old games in preparation, you know, in the Philly game, Terry McLaurin, you know, was kind of just out of it. One reception, and then he had one reception in the first half of the Dallas game. And it's like, man, there's just a different offense when they're not throwing Terry the ball. Now, since then, second half of the Dallas game and the Tennessee game, he's had 13 or 12 receptions and three touchdowns. But, man, for him to disappear like that just seemed a little strange.
Well, the Eagles is the one game that really jumps out, because they've done the best. First of all, they have a great secondary, and I think you start there, right? But I think, you know, and then Vic Fangio is a very good defensive coordinator, and like, they were really, really good at knowing where Terry McLaurin was, like where they wanted to get him the ball in what situations. And the mistake Washington made in that game was not moving around a little bit more. Predominantly, he's going to play on the offense's left side. So, you know, and the Eagles knew that, and everybody knows that. But they were the one team that really took him out of it by, you know, with a lot of bracketing, with corners playing, knowing how to play to the leverage, but also have got linebackers dropping to various spots where they like to get him the ball, et cetera. So they needed to move him around more. Against Dallas, there were just a couple plays that he and Jaden Daniels didn't connect on. Like, there were a couple times where he's open on some deep fades that the ball is just about a yard or two out of, you know, just, I mean, you're talking about a 40-yard pass that's a yard off, right? So there were a couple plays like that in that game. But having said all that, they are absolutely a different team when they can get him the ball early. It doesn't have to be a ton, but you've got to get him involved early. And I think you know how this is. Any receiver is better when you're involved early. The good thing for him and Jaden Daniels, he is not your typical diva receiver. So if he's not getting the ball, like, you know he wants the ball, but he's not, like, he's not in there chewing out the quarterback, whatever, to get the ball. It's like he's patient with himself, but people who have coached him in the past know he's a lot more locked in when you can get him that ball early. So I would think they get him, against Tennessee, the first play of the game was to him. And there's a reason for that. So they know the importance. It's just a matter of, do they take it away or not? And I think the other thing, too, with Jaden's not going to force things. So if he's not, if the, you know, it, it's not a matter of calling plays for him. It's a matter of where is he in the progression and how does he read it. And if he doesn't, think it's there, he's not going to go to him, right? So I think he's kind of mature in that way. But, again, they need to get him the ball early, and they know it.
John, I want to get your impression of what you think or have thought of Jaden Daniels so far. Has he met expectation, exceeded expectation? Just your thoughts on him so far this year.
Well, I think I would say exceeded, but I don't know at what point where I would say that. In other words, like early, you know, when you draft a guy, when you see him, when the team drafts him, like you think he's going to be good. So I think he's exceeded expectations from that point. However, the more you're around him, the more you realize that he can do some things, and he could, and he's not your typical rookie. So from that standpoint, the fact that he's having a good year, I'm not surprised. I think there are definitely areas where you'd still say he's exceeded here and here with his understanding of how to run things, his understanding of the position. I think he plays with a deep maturity to his game where I think you do not look at him as a rookie. And that's the thing, like, you kind of forget that he is a rookie because he's been so mature in a lot of ways. You know, players will talk about that, just like the things that he talks to them about is at a different level in terms of, like, you know, about a play or whatever, right? And so, like, from that standpoint, it's been impressive. And I tell people here that, because, you know, this place has been starved for a quarterback for decades. And so when people ask you, like, what do you think of him? They say, well, the best thing that you – with Jaden is that it's what you hear about him from other guys behind the scenes, the work he puts in and the way he studies, et cetera. And also, again, the maturity that he plays with and just how he is with veteran players and how he understands what is needed from the position, right? That there's a responsibility with it to be a leader. There's a responsibility with it to, you know, you are, you know, whether it's a veteran, a young guy, you know what your role is. And so, like, maybe after a game, he might go up to a veteran receiver who might be a little bit annoyed with his own performance and just remind him, like, I trust you. I'm going to keep going back to you, et cetera. And, you know, some guys have told me, like, they're just not used to that. And so I think, you know, that's where you see – that's the part that I think he's exceeded, because that's a hard thing to know how he's going to do.
As this team makes a playoff push, you know, to get themselves in that picture, you know, firmly in that picture, what are some of the things that they continue to not only do well and some of the things that they need to kind of, hey, they've got to eliminate some of these things if they're going to make sure that they're in that playoff, in the playoff, not just the race?
Right. And I think, like, the big thing to improve is the run defense. But that's been a problem all year. I don't know if it's going to get fixed all this year. Can they improve? Yes. And some of it goes back to technique. And Joe Witt, their defensive coordinator, was talking about that this week. And the technique is, it's not just like, okay, where you put your hands, where you're stepping. It's how you're fitting this gap, how you're rotating on this look, et cetera. So there were some things that had to be cleaned up there. I'll be curious to see if they do a better job this week against Alvin Kamara in that way. But that's something that absolutely has to improve, not just to make the playoffs, but if you want to, because right now, if they make the playoffs, the first round game is against Philadelphia. Well, if you want to beat them, you better stop the run. So if you don't stop the run, if you can't be better against it, it's going to be a short stay. So that's something that has to improve. But then on the other side, on offense, I think the run game has been a big time key, as much as, like, as well as Daniels has played, and he has, and he's been very good for them. But that run game under coordinator Cliff Kingsbury has been very good. And they rushed for, I think it was like 276 against Tennessee. When Brian Robinson is healthy, that makes a big difference. And he is healthy right now. So that is something that I think they will lean on down the stretch for sure. And it does, because that, you know, it helps Daniels. First of all, we know Daniels can run. Secondly, it puts him in better passing situations, and he's taking advantage of that. So, you know, I just think that but it starts with the run game. Like, if they get that going, they're really, really hard to stop.
What are the expectations in the D.C. area or within that locker room with Marshawn Lattimore? I mean, you know, got the trade deadline feels like a while ago, and now he's going to make his debut, you know, of course, here. But what are the expectations? I would imagine high.
Well, for the fan base, the expectation is to be a Hall of Fame corner. I think that's what they want. But I just think the realistic expectations come in to be much better than what they have. And their corner play has been very inconsistent. Benjamin St. Juice has been starting. He's going to be, my guess is he'll replace him as a starter. They haven't said who the which guy is coming out, but that's the most logical one. Mike Samristil is a rookie. They drafted him to play in the slot, but because they're having issues outside, they had to bump him outside. And he's done a nice job. But they haven't had a corner of this caliber in a long time. So I think what they want is just to maybe prevent more, to have a guy who can lock someone up, right? And or to make it a tougher play than normal on this, right? And that's something they just haven't had that. And St. Juice is a taller, lanky, longer corner, but he doesn't play with the same level of confidence that Lattimore does. And I know, like you guys know, he's battled injuries. Is he the same player he was a couple years ago? I don't know, but he's still better than what they've had by a decent amount. And so I think the expectation in the locker room is that he can go in there and be a very good corner for them. And, again, someone that maybe the safeties don't have to worry about in this particular coverage. If it's man coverage, maybe the safety can kind of cheat a little bit more to the other side because you know that Lattimore is in a good spot, and they haven't had that. So I think that's, you know, I think the other thing is, again, the dog mentality. When they traded for him, the one thing that a bunch of guys kept talking about is he's got that dog mentality. And that is, again, in that room, they just haven't had someone like that.
My last question, and I'm just, you know, as I watch the games and I see, a guy in his 12th year out of Stanford, and that's Zach Ertz. The Saints have struggled in his running quarterbacks and sometimes tight ends. The guy's got 52 catches. He's had a touchdown in each of his last three games. I mean, he has been, everything you could want, you know, in a tight end.
Yeah, and he's been a good safety valve for Jaden Daniels. And you saw that develop in training camp. And that goes back to what I was saying about Daniels. Like, in training camp, those two would talk a lot after plays. I mean, a lot. And I think that kind of communication pays off at times like this. And just knowing where the guy's going to be, having trust in where the guy is going to be. And I think, you know, Zach Ertz is not going to necessarily be some dynamic player anymore, but in the 10-yard area, he's going to help him. And then you've seen that all year. The question is, like, they lost Noah Brown this week. He's likely done for the year with a kidney injury suffered against Tennessee. So you need other guys, right? And I think, you know, having a guy that you can rely on, Austin Eckler is out too. So having a veteran like Zach Ertz over the middle is a big plus for Jaden Daniels, and it has been all year.
We'll see. Big one for both teams. I appreciate your time. That's John Keim covering the Washington Commanders for ESPN.com. Thank you very much, and enjoy your holidays.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Need to take a break. Fans in the Pro working our way towards 6 o'clock. And then, of course, 7 o'clock will be the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup live from Caesars Superdome. Take a break here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, and thanks to the good folks at Magazine Pizza for speeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. WWL is your place for the Pelicans basketball Sunday. It's the Pels taking on the Pacers in Indiana. Pre-game at 3:30, tip-off at 4 o'clock on the Big 870. Saints game will be over, and WWL, your home for Sunday Night Football. Sunday night, catch the 9-4 Green Bay Packers. They are on the road against the 8-5 Seattle Seahawks. We'll have the pregame action at 6:30. Kickoff will be at 7:20. So Green Bay at Seattle. And then next Monday, the 23rd, we shall be in Green Bay, Wisconsin on December 23rd for a Monday night game. Which can be a little bit of anything.
Yeah, it's too early.
It's too early.
Too early for me to even check the weather. I'm just preparing for cold. You know, and
I think that's a given.
It only gets worse from there. It's either gonna be cold, colder, or you're freezing.
Right. I was telling somebody today. I said, I don't care what it is, and nothing will touch the Saturday in Cleveland. A couple years ago, that was the 15 below game. That was on Sunday. Saturday was 100 times worse.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to experience right. that part. I saw the videos and the pictures. And anytime that you don't even have to be outside and you can just stick your hand outside and your hand just moves because of the wind and it's just, you know, you talk, you open your mouth and you see the air almost just freezing from you just talking. That's cold, bro.
It was cold. They made the right call. Well, they didn't make it any change, but the Saints made the right call because we were there Friday, right? We flew in on Friday because it was a blizzard. You were in Shreveport. The blizzard was all everywhere. I mean, everybody was impacted.
You couldn't fly into Cleveland.
Yeah, you couldn't do it. You couldn't fly
into Cleveland because of the wind gales or whatever it was. You couldn't fly into Cleveland.
So when we look at the Saints offense, we've been always, typically we talk to the guys covering the Commanders. So Jake Hanner gets the start, but he's got something that Rattler didn't have. He's got his starting five, really, offensively from an offensive line standpoint. And I gotta believe, they had 10 tackles for a loss last week offensively, which was a lot. A lot of it happened on first down.
Well, here's also what you have to remember with the offensive line. Everybody, the offensive line is back. The offensive line is back. How many times did the offensive line practice together?
Oh, not much. And they haven't been together since week three.
You had one player that was in concussion protocol.
Right.
Yeah, one that was in concussion protocol. The other one was coming off of a groin issue, and the other one is coming off a foot. So, yes, they're back, but how much are they actually practicing? So they actually get a week of practicing. When you look at that report, tell me how many of those guys are on that report.
None.
I was disappointed in the offensive line last week because the one thing that you felt that you would be able to do was run the football. You weren't able to do it. This week, that job is a little bit tougher, but one thing that you should expect teams to do is to play five down.
Right, because they feel like you got a rookie quarterback, you're going to want to run the ball.
Well, not we say right, but it's normally not what teams do from a base defense standpoint.
Right, but they're loading the box to stop the run, right?
You load the box to stop the run, but it's doing it a certain way.
Right.
So
well, that's Philly, wasn't it?
It was Philly who started it. And so other teams have used that look. But it's not something that teams traditionally do. Most teams don't give you that look. So if I'm the Saints, I'm preparing for that look. Even if Washington has only done it, let's just say, on average, out of 70 plays, they've only given you that look 10 times. I'm looking for them to attempt to do that 40 times. So there should be no reason for you to be surprised. Hey, we got a five down look. The look is five down. And so that basically puts the offensive line in one-on-one situations. Now, for the back, you've got to be patient. You got to be patient. And when I say that, it's those guys have to be able to get up to the second level, or you have to be able to cut off on the backside, depending on where that run goes. But if there's penetration, it's going to be fighting to get back to the line
of
scrimmage.
That's exactly what happened.
I mean, and that's just because of how the look unfolds.
So how do you beat five down? Like what's the other than hey my man beating your man and getting to the second level?
You can't just do that. Because
throwing the ball more?
You have to be willing to throw it a little bit more and hit them for yak yardage, yards after the catch. I mean, because they're giving it up. They're giving up some throws. They are giving up some yards and some opportunities to say, hey, we're willing to give up 4 yards, 5 yards, even on a throw. And even if you test us, you know, because we have a rookie at XYZ, we don't think that your guy's not going to make the play is basically what it comes down to. Now, when you just, I'm going to be hard-headed and run the football. If you are able to get to the second level because you were able to cut it off and you were able to block it right, Alvin is one-on-one with the safety. Jamal is one-on-one with the safety. Kendre is one-on-one with the safety. When you get those looks, you can't be 50%. You've got to bat. When I get one-on-one with that safety, this can't just be a 10-yard run. This has to be a plus 30, plus 40, even maybe a house call. Because I can't expect them to block it perfect every time.
So you got to make him pay when you get to that safety. You got to make him pay.
He's missing.
So the question is, what do you think? And I'm not, you know, asking you to divulge anything, but will they be? If I'm watching, I'm like, all right, you are not gonna. We're gonna make Jake Haener beat us. You ain't beating Alvin Kamara.
That's what I would do.
And Kendre Miller ain't beating us.
That's what I would
do. So you're gonna have to make Jake throw it. So the question is, do you think they'll be hard headed and say, nope, we're gonna run the ball and first and second down and.
First and second down, I'm probably not running. I am going to take what you're giving me as far as the yardage on the pass. That's what I'm going to do. And then when I want to be hard-headed, it's going to be far and few and in-between situations,
We probably should not refer to it like that.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, but that's what it is. It's hard to run into a loaded box. I mean, because you are expecting things to be perfect. And sometimes they're not, particularly when a unit hasn't practiced. Oh, they're the starters. They hadn't practiced together since, you know, 7 weeks.
10 tackles for a loss. And by the way, the problem offensive line was the Giants' offensive line. Saints tackles for a loss? Zero. We'll talk about that on the flip side of this break, working our way towards 6 o'clock. This is Fans in the Pro with Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Charlie Long in the booth. Back after this. WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back just for a few more minutes until kickoff with Boomer and Valenti at 6 o'clock. Then at 7 o'clock, it is the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup and a special championship edition tonight at 7 and then tomorrow at noon is where I'll be heading after this to go back to Caesars Superdome. Lots to do, lots of football. Friday, Saturday, Sundays, they flip everything and get it ready for the Saints and the Commanders at noon. We talked about offense, Saints defense. You talk about the challenges. So they're the third best rushing offense in the NFL, Washington. They have third most rushing touchdowns, 23, third most plus 20 runs, fourth in points, 29 a game. And here's the wild one to me. So they're both seventh. The Saints' red zone offense is seventh, 60%. Washington's red zone offense is seventh, 60%. The Saints are 23 of 38. Washington is 33 of 55. 5 red zone appearances. That feels like a lot.
How can we steal possessions?
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, I feel like this defense is going to have to.
How can you steal possessions? Stopping the run will be imperative.
Turnovers. You get your hands on the ball against Washington, you better.
Even a fake, and we've been very, very aggressive with fakes, field goals. I mean, punts. You know, punts and even going for it. But the Saints have to put some pressure on them where they can't run the football. If this Washington team is in the game and they're ahead, you know what you're getting.
Right.
They're going to run it. And then the quarterback scramble has been a disaster for us this year. But somebody's going to have to make a play.
Is this the guy that you spy?
You know? I would have spied a couple guys. Right. But, you know, they've got to figure out what works for them and not, you know, get out of character as far as defense on what they like to do. But you're going to have your hands full.
I feel like because of the offensive situation, we don't know, the defense is going to have to come up with some – you've got to win the turnover battle.
You've got to win the turnover battle, but if you can put points on the board, you'll take it. If you can put your offense in favorable field position, you'll take it.
Right, because the field position battle was not pretty last week at MetLife. Thanks to everybody for listening tonight. Again, Boomer and Valenti coming up next. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth. As always, Deuce McAllister. Bobby and Mike Dettillier will be at the Rouses tomorrow. Go check them out. They're going to be in Covington from 9 to noon. We'll see you on Sunday as well. Thanks for listening to Fans and the Pro. Have a good week.